Aubrey Masango on 702.
Live, online.
DSTV and 92.7 and 106 FM.
Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jiva joins me now on Skype. Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jiva, thank you very much for joining me. Am I pronouncing the name properly?
Good evening. Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Dr. Jiva, I know that your, I suppose, speciality is the issue of ADHD, and one is tempted to go into that specific issue, but I'd really like to keep the conversation as general as possible and talk more about the challenges that children have, especially during this time, during the time of COVID-19, now that children are going back to school, and how we as parents or people that are caregivers to these children can allow ourselves to be, I suppose, a support system for our children by understanding their situation a little bit better. I want to start off by saying that as a parent, my little girl has just started to go back to school, and I've noticed that she's very giddy, very almost euphoric in the way that she's behaving. Why would that be the case?
Well, I suppose if you had a holiday for so long, you'd also be giddy and happy. I wish I had a holiday. So, you know, actually, this COVID has good and bad things for ADHD child if you're going to stay in the AG area. And it can create quite a lot of havoc in the child's life. And things like suddenly the most important thing for them is routine. And now suddenly they're off school and they're into remote learning and screen time as much as they want and scheduling. So everything goes upside down and the parents have a hard time. And it does create a problem. And we have a few cases that are gone to the extreme. But majority of the time, the parents are doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, this is going to be a question of what do we do as parents to be supportive to our children? Because obviously during this time, this giddy sort of euphoric behavior can get to a point where it can get a little bit irritating. How do we respond as parents during that time? And by the way, give us a call on 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Any issues, behavioral issues that your child is exhibiting at this time, Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jiva is the man to talk to. How do we support our children during this time, Dr. Jiva?
Yeah, I just want to know how much time do we have for this whole thing, because I've got two directions to go. So I don't want to finish all your time. How much time do we have for this whole session? So we
have about another 20 minutes, 30 minutes, if you are...
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a few things. Is what goes wrong? Basically, how can it be managed? That's where the parents come in. And the last thing, coping during the pandemic for the ADHD child.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that stand out. Number one, 40% of the ADHD kids are generally anxious. Now, of course, with the pandemic, they get double anxious. They get more anxious. So whatever is bad becomes terrible. But somehow the parents have been managing it. The main thing that the parents have naturally found out or learned is routine. So they've got homeschooling, they've got structure, and that is very important. The old-fashioned ideas that you have to get a good sleep, a good diet, and exercise nearly every day still stands. That's the number one thing for these kids. Now, many kids are in an apartment and there's no place to ride a bike or trampoline or something, so they have to find another way, maybe Wii or some other way, or you can do skipping, or you can do whatever home exercise you got. So that's very important that we give them a regular exercise. They must have a regular bedtime. The problem is during pandemic, it's like being on a holiday. So they sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning and all that, and that's not recommended. So it's best to help your child to have a regular time for bedtime and a balanced diet with high protein possibly and as much physical activity as possible. So this is for any condition, any child, any adult. Then the hallmark of ADHD is routines or structure. We need to get a balance. If there's too little structure, then the behavior can get out of control and then you've got a problem, or they spend endless hours in front of the screen, cyber addiction, and that's a big problem. On the other side, if it's too rigid, if the structure is too rigid, then there's a conflict between the parent and the child, and that causes other problems, and the child might act out impulsively and breaking the rules and feeling guilty that they failed. So this causes self-confidence issues. So basically the parent has to weigh, has to balance what is good, what is right, and time, and what structure is best. So the parent has to play it by ear. They can't just be very rigid.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the parents have to learn, or it's easy to find out from the internet, different behavioral strategies. So, example, in the learning and that, they must help the child simplify the homework on Zoom or Skype or whatever. They must repeat the instructions like maybe the teachers do at school.
Yes.
And they must break down complicated tasks into small little tasks. And it's very important to give them reward systems. Without reward system, it's not going to work. So the very little kids, we still use the star charts. They get a gold star and a red star, as you know. Mm. And for the little bigger children, we use token economies. That means they get tokens that they can exchange for something. Now, many of my adolescent kids, boys and girls, they use the token they only exchange for more computer time. That's okay. I mean, if they work for it and they've achieved it, and so they'll get the token and they'll do well.
Yeah. So it appears to me that the one issue that you seem to be talking about, whether a child is ADHD or not, the one issue that seems to be common in how we as parents, how caregivers can support children, is by giving children structure. It appears to me that yes. is the overriding common denominator, that we need to give children yes. structure. We need to give children a sense of predictability in the way things happen. Whether we are dealing with children that are ADHD or not, Doctor, if I'm understanding you correctly, because that seems to be the general issue that you're giving me here.
Yes, that's true. So structure is ultra important. And then we come to a very important topic for the kids, and I suppose a dicey topic for the parents, is screen time. ADHD kids love to spend time on PlayStation, Game Boy, and cell phone, and things like that. And so normally the American recipe is that when you're not in COVID, Monday to Thursdays, your kids should spend 0 to 30 minutes on cyber, whatever way they choose. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a weekend, they spend 2 hours each. Now, that is non-COVID days. Now, COVID days is like a big holiday. So, unfortunately or fortunately, you must give them the 2 hours every day, because they're going to go crazy. It's boring and it's difficult unless you make it exciting.
Yes.
So, that's why you give them more screen time. But the most important thing is to check what they're doing, how much of the screen time is schoolwork, and how much of it is other messing around and going on to other sites. It's not very important how much time they spend or extra time, but it's important what they are doing. So you have to put a system. So there's a little app that I give my patients. It's called Our, O-U-R, space, PACT, P-A-C-T. This is an app that you can, as a parent, put in your phone, and you can set how much time they should spend on each of these gadgets, and it automatically goes off without them knowing that you're responsible. So this is a very good app, and it has been widely used by many of my patients, and I think you should try and use it, because there's always a fight. Oh, I want 5 minutes more. I want 10 minutes more. I only have one more game to play, and this and that. And so that's a mega issue, because when a child is not doing well in their schoolwork, the first question you should ask them, or two questions I tend to ask them, are you doing exercise, or what is stealing your time? And of course, stealing your time means PlayStation, Game Boy, all these things, cyber addiction. And most of the time you get it right. So the parents have to also put that in their structure.
Doctor, I hear what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I want to go back to the issue of structure. You know, the provision of structure, a feeling of relatable predictability for the child, yeah? What if that doesn't happen? What if the child spends more than 2 hours FaceTime on whatever device. What happens? What is it that we are actually trying to prevent here?
Yeah, I liked your word. The word is predictable schedule. So the kids should know what the parents expect of them, what time. But they should give them a leeway. And if they want more time, say they give them 2 hours and the guy's sitting at 2 hours and 10 minutes and he wants more, say, okay, in your token economy, tokens, let's exchange time. If you, the token that you earned yesterday, I'll give you half an hour more. So he does a business. He starts doing well in his schoolwork so he can get more tokens, or he does well in his cleaning his room or helping set the table, and he has his tokens, and he says, Mom, yeah, I got 3 tokens. Each token is worth half an hour. I want my extra time. So we have to help them to get into business with their parents, and that's what they do. Now, you can't be very rigid and consequence them and hit them. It's not the end of the world yet. Nothing is going to happen like that. But some kids get terribly anxious, and they even become obsessive to the extent that they develop what we call germophobia. They think that everything is covert and everything is dangerous, and if they touch it, some of them even thought that they're going to die. But initially, many of the parents, teachers, and even the elder kids thought this COVID doesn't exist. So the main thing is they must find a level of communication where they can get more time or they can get more privileges, but in return they do something that the parents need or like.
But I suppose I'm still sticking to the question that I'm asking, that if we don't provide this kind of structure, and the sense of predictability for our children, what will happen? What is the boogeyman here? What is the thing that we're afraid of?
There's 3 things. Number one, the Chinese did a study, and they found the kids that did not stay to this routine or this structure, 2/3 of them had angry outbursts. And with the angry outbursts, they can get very aggressive, very impulsive, worse than the standard ADHD child that you see. Then 60% of these kids develop anxiety. Generally, ADHD kids, 40% have anxiety. But now this shoots up to 60%, so the anxiety increases. Then, unfortunately, the parents might be anxious. So this causes another problem. And other thing is ADHD is 82% genetic. So the parents might be Dear Makar, and the kids are going Dear Makar, and it's like two barrels spinning on Niagara Falls, one on top of the other, and you can't do that. One must stand still, and that should be the parent.
Yeah.
Only look, one can move, not look, two
look,
can move.
Look, we don't want anybody going Dear Makar. It can be a Dear Makar situation. Let's talk a little bit about the older children, Doc. Many of our children who would have been going to matric this year under normal circumstances would have had the opportunity to go to a matric dance, which is a major rite of passage. It's a major rite of passage. It hasn't happened for many of our children. They're under a lot of pressure because their exams are happening under very, very unfamiliar circumstances, because teachers haven't been there. There hasn't been enough time in the class. There hasn't been, there are so many different issues that we could talk about. There hasn't been enough time to get familiar with the content. There hasn't been the normal sporting events that they would have gone to. There has just not been any of the things that provide the normal structure that they would have been, that they would have been guided by. It's not going to happen. There's no matric dance. All of those things, what does that do to particularly the older children?
Okay, the older children, the adolescent. I had a boy yesterday. The mother said he's not interested. He's depressed. He doesn't care about his marks. He doesn't care what he gets. He used to get 65%, now get 32%. I don't think he's interested. And the mother brought the child. He said, well, there's nothing to do. I miss my friends. The homework, nobody helps me. I can't see the teacher. I can't play my hobbies. I can't see my other relatives at that. I can't go to the mall. I can't see my chickie and all this type of thing. So it's adolescent is a very difficult time for ADHD, especially during the pandemic. So they need more liberty. We need to give them more liberty. And we have to get the teachers involved somehow. Can they communicate with the parents of the ADHD children to see how these children are doing? The parents themselves can reach out to the individuals, asking them, if the work is too much, can I tailor it? Can I make it individually a bit less? And then if it's totally out of control, then prior to, first you do exercise and everything, but if this anxiety is totally crippling, then we seem to find cognitive behavior therapy is a form of therapy that you can do virtually on the Skype or Zoom, where they help these kids to relax or decelerate and based on learning theory. So adolescent is a very, very difficult time. And the parents are generally doing quite well. I'm quite pleased and surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us a call on 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jeeva, specialist in child psychiatry, talking about the Dier Makar hate that we are going through at the moment. And I'm looking forward to your calls on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Are there any behavioral patterns that are concerning you with regards to your child? Are there any things that they've started to do that you believe perhaps are an alarm bell of one form or the other? Give us a call on 011-883-0702. It appears to me that the overarching concept in the rearing of children, whatever age, is to provide boundaries through the process of giving predictable sort of schedules about different things. When that doesn't happen, you spoke of children sometimes showing outbursts of temper, outbursts of just being disagreeable. What is going on in the child that makes that happen? Why is the child doing that?
Well, one of the big things about ADHD and pandemic is you have to see what things you are vulnerable for and how much control you have. And we have to teach the child to develop control. And the parents also have to have control. If the child is shouting and screaming and being rude and the parent knocks him also, that doesn't help. So vulnerability, how susceptible you are to these type of behaviors, and the control. We have to teach or help and communicate the child so the frustration can decrease. So if the child is inattentive and is taking 1 hour to dress, don't jump and scream on him, don't shout at him, or he's impulsive and he hits his other child and he peers with him. Leave him alone. That's ADHD. You haven't seen all this at school. You are not at school. You are at home. So you have to change your dimensions of how you look at these children. Look at the nice thing about this child, the funny things about the child. These children are very funny. They're very innovative, and they have a lot of different type of skills. So some of my kids are baking biscuits. Some of them are doing online selling some games and all. So there are things that they can do. The most important thing, the parents must also keep their cool and possibly try to have a sense of humor. I know it's very hard, but if one parent is very strict and the other is more lenient, it is a bit better that the lenient parent during pandemic sets the rules, because ADHD and adolescence and rules do not go together. Yeah. The other thing, other sad thing that's coming out, most kids that are home, some of them like it at home. And there's a flavor in South Africa last year before pandemic, the kids are going homeschooling. Now the kids will get lazy and they want to stay at home and they don't want to go to school. But not going to school, they lose on socializing skills and they get socially isolated.
Yes.
And they may even become introverted and anxious and depressed. So it's not that good. Maybe as adults who work in certain companies, they can do on virtual, seeing patients and things like that. But socializing is a very important part of the development of a child.
Yes.
And they try your best to send them to school and work out an agreement with the teacher if you're still not happy. Sure, some parents are not happy to send them. Some send them every second week. Yeah, all this will hopefully come to an end. In many countries, it has come to an end. In many countries, it gets getting worse. But we need this is a good time for the parent to find a way to find a gentle relationship with their child. The child, they haven't even seen the child at school.
Yeah, yeah.
Parents don't know what happens at school. And strangely enough, most ADHD, not my patients, most ADHD, they give the medication in the morning, say, for instance, Ritalin. So it works all morning till 1 o'clock or something, and the teacher is happy and everybody's happy. And in the afternoon, the mother has a dynamo or a tiger of a child who doesn't want to learn and da 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 da. So they don't know, they can't understand why the teacher's not complaining, because he's medicated.
Yes,
and the medication
of course,
is worn off. By the time he comes home, it's gone. The petrol is clear.
011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jeeva talking about children's behavioral issues in our mental health feature this evening. I'm really looking forward to your questions and your comments. Are there things that you've noticed about your children, your adolescent child that is perhaps concerning you, that is worrying you? Is your child a little bit introverted? We're doing the South African thing this evening. And what are some of the issues that you are beginning to pick up? What patterns are you seeing in their behavior that is disturbing you as a parent? What's definitely coming out here for me, Doctor, is that we need to chill out, I suppose, as parents a little bit with our children.
Yeah.
That we just need to relax a little bit and provide an environment of... a less rigid environment. Sure, we need to provide structure, we need to provide predictability, but what I'm getting from your conversation with us this evening is that we need to chill out, we need to relax a little bit, we need to be a little more flexible, a little more elastic in the way that we deal with our children, particularly at this time.
It's very interesting with some of our kids that are on medication. During this time, the parents don't really want to give them medication. That's okay if it doesn't cause a problem. But if that causes a problem, then they realize how the medication really works and why the teachers are not complaining and why the parents see the worst of the behavior. So then they have a little more respect for the medication, that sometimes when it's severe and it causes impairment, you need it.
Well, I can tell you now, Doc, that over this time, a lot of parents have developed a lot of respect, not only for the teachers, but for the pediatricians, but I suppose also for people such as yourself who deal with the issues, behavioral and mental wellness issues of children. I think that there has been a lot of taking things for granted as it pertains to our children. I've been doing a lot of homeschooling with my children and helping other kids as well over this time. And I have to tell you that my respect for teachers has quadrupled. I've always been one that respects teachers, but over this time I have come to understand that these are people that we need to be worshipping almost for the kind of work that they do. I want to take some calls on 011-883-0702. My guest is Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jeeva, specialist in child behavioral issues, specifically ADHD. I want to talk a little bit about the issue of Ritalin, Dr. Shabir Jeeva. A lot of people concerned about Ritalin and whether or not it is still a relevant form of medication for children who suffer from ADHD and related conditions. But let's take a quick call from Nelson in Springs. Hi, Nelson.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah, good evening to you, Nelson. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I'd just like to ask the doctor, please, are there any type of exercises or techniques that the parents can use to help their kids in order to develop their focus and their concentration? So, for instance, is reading a good thing, or is there other forms of exercise or techniques that parents can use?
Excellent question. Nelson, thanks very much. Doc?
Yeah, I was thinking that you're talking more about physical exercise, but reading is excellent. Anything about learning is excellent, but too long reading gets these kids bored. But physical exercise, they need more cardio. So if you have a place outside, if you're not strictly covered, then trampoline is the way to go, or bicycle if they have a small area. And if you don't have all that, then you have to use the North American, the Wii, they do it indoors. But bicycle and trampoline is the main form of exercise. Reading, yes, it's very important, as you might know, that most ADHD don't like to read. Maybe the girls like to read more than the boys, so that will be like a punishment. But if they like it, sure. But physical exercise, they say if you do exercise two times a week, the impact is only about 48%. If you do it four times a week, it's about 52%. If you do it five times a week, it's about 200%. I don't know how that's possible. So we encourage patients to go to the gym or exercise 7 days a week, and hopefully they'll miss 2 days and catch 5 days a week.
All right, Mapiti in Deep Spirit. Hi, Mapiti. Please switch off your radio, Mapiti.
Hi, my good sense.
Yes, good evening to you, Mapiti.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the doctor, how do we deal with such a problem? Because during this coronavirus, I've experienced a change in behavioral for my daughter. How do I do with it? Because I've already taken into she didn't go in about because she's attending.
Oh, hold on, Mapiti. We're losing you there. We're losing you. What is the problem that you've identified in your child that you are asking the doctor to help you with?
Behavioral changes.
Like what? What sort of changes have you seen in your daughter's behavior that concerns you?
Memory. She loses it. She doesn't understand how well
yes.
She used to understand things well, but I have to explain things maybe three times or four times.
Yes. So memory loss for you and connecting with certain concepts in her schoolwork, yeah?
Yes.
All right, Doc.
Okay, the simple things you can do at home. First of all, is this child always had a regular or a normal memory prior to pandemic? Then we have to look at it in a different way. If this child had this problem prior to pandemic, then there might be ADHD that wasn't diagnosed or treated. So we have to make out the difference. Is it pre-COVID or after COVID? Say, for instance, it is after COVID because many kids are having problem. Then they encourage the parents to the six different things they can do. Number one, they have to keep positive and motivated. Now, positive is very hard. When your child drives you crazy, but that is the way to go. Number two, make sure that all the family members know what is expected of them. Everybody knows what's expected of them. So one can't say, oh, I didn't know, I can't shout, I didn't know, I can't do this and that. Number three, very important, build your child's self-confidence and trust in you. This is the first time in their lives that they're going to spend so much time alone with you. And some parents work at home. So this is all the time. So they need the self-confidence in doing things right and winning and develop trust in you. And you have to teach your child, if they're not listening, to follow instructions. Because some kids don't know that. But if they're typically forgetting everything, then maybe after COVID or during COVID, they can be assessed if there is something to do with ADHD. Then promote better behavior by giving them token economy, giving them stars, or giving them more time to do PlayStation or whatever they like. You sell the time to them. Okay, if you want to do more of that, do this. So if you've got better behavior, I'll give you half an hour more time. And lastly, limit the conflicts. You cannot have conflicts this time. It's not nice. I mean, the whole family is one family, and it's very explosive and corrosive, and it just eats up the self-esteem. So those are some of the things. Be positive and let everybody know what's expected of them. Constantly look at the self-confidence of the child. Well, what can we do for them to win or to get it right? Or she can go in the kitchen and help mommy bake a cake or a biscuit or something so she'll feel good about herself. And whenever she does something well, like any other behavior, you promote good, positive behavior. And lastly, cut down on fights and conflicts. This is not the time. We have bigger problems than that.
Mapiti, does that help you in any way?
It does. Thanks
a lot. All right,
God
Mapiti
bless.
In Deep Sloot. Yeah, you know, I want to ask this question before I go into the question with Lydia and Boxberg. How do we treat ourselves? How do we train ourselves as parents to chill out, as it were, to relax? Because we are also, as parents, as adults, under the pressure of whatever lockdown we are in, we may have lost our job at this particular time. We are in constant in constant contact with each other, which is an almost unnatural situation for us. We are together all the time. Maybe mom or dad has lost their job. Other challenges are starting to be part of the many things that we need to deal with as we try to be less confrontative, less edgy with our children. How do we then, as parents, as caregivers, what sort of tools do we need to learn?
It's good that you touch on how does it affect the parents. First of all, certain percentages are retrenched, so they're jobless. It's a mega issue. Secondly, it affects marriages because the husband is constantly policing the wife, or the wife is constantly criticizing the husband. So that's an issue. And this condition is very distressful, the COVID. So there's a real disease, and the uncertainty is what people can't live with. What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? Is our flight going to take off in 2020 or 2021? So it affects the emotional state of the adults, and their unstructured time is the problem. So they're going to reverse it and be structured. So how can the adults improve? Well, some of the things are the same. The old-fashioned, they said, grandmother used to say, sleep well 7 hours, eat high-protein diet, and exercise. So that's still very important. It's ultra-important. Then routine and structure, what you're putting for the kids, you also need it for yourself. But you can't be so rigid on the children. And lastly, if you want behavioral strategies, then once again, different forms of exercise, running on the spot or skipping, or I like for the kids trampoline and that, but for the adults, they have the ways to go to the gym, and now the gyms are open. So we have these different ways, and if you just keep yourself covered and don't come in contact with too many people, things should improve.
Yeah.
But that's how we take care of ourselves.
Lydia in Boksburg, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Go ahead, Lydia. What's the question for the doctor?
Okay, my name is Lucia, and I have
is it Lucia?
11
my,
year
old. My apologies.
No problem.
Yeah.
I have got an 11-year-old who is very impulsive, does not take instructions, and is struggling at school. So I know he's a very bright child, and I've done a number of consultations to have him observed what is the issues.
Yeah.
Especially after the latter part of the lockdown, I tried to homeschool him to say, because he's very asthmatic, so I thought it's best to keep him at home, but I couldn't cope because of his level of he's not cooperative. For example, just for him to sleep at 9 o'clock, I will have him call me every 30 seconds. He just makes it very much unbearable.
Mm.
So I've tried everything. I've tried the reward system. I've tried taking away stuff. I don't know what I'm doing.
What it does for you, Lucia, is that it heightens your feelings of anxiety, yeah?
Yes, I am very much anxious to such an extent that I find it very hard to go and visit with him because I know how he's going to be. We do outdoor activity. If we go camping, he'll walk on the wrong side of the road. He just does the opposite of the right.
Yes, yes.
But he's a very smart boy, and I've tried everything.
It sounds like ADHD, Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you said two very interesting things. He's a very smart boy. So ADHD is a normal and high IQ condition. And 70% of the ADHD kids get a condition called opposition defiant disorder. And you just use the word opposite. And most teachers, parents, and doctors, they miss this. This is the behavior. The comorbidity means the thing that goes wrong. The highest percentage of the thing going wrong in the kids is opposition defiant disorder. They lose their temper. They argue with adults, refuse to listen to the rules of adults, deliberately annoy people. They blame others. They're touchy. They're sensitive, angry, and even stubborn. So this can be treated. And opposition defiant disorder is part of the ADHD. It's not another condition only. As I said, 70% of the kids will get it. If it's not treated in adulthood, then they come into temper and antisocial behavior and things like that. So the child should be assessed. Now, I don't know if these symptoms were there before COVID, but if it was there, then they needed to be assessed. And usually we start at 5, 6, to assess the child, and it can be easily treated if it needs to be treated, and it's highly genetic. So we have to just think, anybody in the family, have you ever, your parents or anybody, have they ever had any similar kind of behavior? But it can be treated, and it's not the end of the world, and you will be able to go and visit your relatives and your friends nicely.
Lucia, so it's very important, I think, that you take the child for some sort of assessment, because I can understand how that can make you dear makar. I mean, I get you, man. Lucia in Boksburg, much appreciated. The constant, I mean, dad, or mom. It can drive you up the wall, can't it, doctor?
Yes.
You know, I mean,
that's why exercise the main antidote.
So, okay, go for a run, eh? Tricia in Bryanston. Hi, Tricia.
Hi. I haven't got any problem with children,
yep. But
I think this is an ideal time to communicate with your children with board games.
Yes.
Where they've got to concentrate and they've got your attention.
Yes.
And they then also have got to socialize themselves, that they're not always going to win, but they've got to sort of make an effort.
Wonderful, wonderful connection.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even for dominoes or anything, easy.
Yeah.
You can make them count. You can take it to any age.
Absolutely. Board games, doctor. I mean, I think that's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, you've got a situation where you're together as a family and so forth, yeah?
It's excellent because there's no TV, PlayStation involved. Secondly, you can learn different names and different things. And if you're playing Monopoly, you can even get rich and buy a few properties. So it's an excellent thing for the kids.
Yeah. What I'm getting out of our conversation, Doc, as we part ways, and I want to thank you very much for the easy way that you've spoken about very, very complex issues, but the easy and accessible way that you've done it. You've talked to us about being dear makar. You've talked to us about all sorts of very interesting things. But what I'm getting out of our conversation is that, one, we as parents need to provide an environment. Now, I might get this intellectually, but I'm understanding that the real difficulty sometimes is that we as parents, caregivers, need to breathe. We need to chill out. We need to provide an atmosphere of relaxed interaction with our children instead of losing it. How do we teach ourselves to do that? How do we do that?
Well, you think that when you go to Margate for a holiday in December, you just leave your children to go and swim and do whatever they want. So pandemic is a bit like that. Can you be a Margate fella or Pleasantburg Bay and just not totally out of control and crazy, but at least give them more liberty? You have to untie the tight brakes. You can loosen the brakes.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ahmed Jiva, I want to thank you very much for your time and just thank the very relaxed way that you've been able to talk to us, the very relatable way that you've been able to talk to us about very, very important subject matter. I really appreciate your time. How do people get in touch with
you? Thank you very much.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to perhaps come and see you, talk to you?
I have a very good website, www.ADHDclinicjiva.com. So all the phone numbers and everything are on the website. It's an easy website. Just Google Dr. Jiva and you'll get that website. And the office number, it's all on the website, 011-440-4425. And people interested in ADHD, the website's very nice. It's got all movies, TV shows. We even got the recording with Reddy Dereko several years ago.
Yes.
So we're all 702.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, Dr. Shabir Ahmed Jiva, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again sometime soon.